Moving on, we have our decennial.
Decennial.
Decennial?
Yep.
Okay. Let me get my foot out of my mouth and I'll keep going. Decennial Committee on Local Government Efficiency. And we have with us our two public members, and I am delighted that Grant Hammer and CJ Metcalf have joined us for this purpose. Thanks, guys. And Derek, you want to bring us up to speed on where we are and sort of maybe a timetable,
yep.
And then we'll open it up for public comment.
Sure. So a little bit of a background that I'll share with you, and then kind of the role and the function of this committee. So this is a new act, the Decennial Committee on Local Government Efficiency Act. So it requires all units, I've read it many times, it requires all units of local government that levy any tax, including park districts, to form a committee to study local government efficiencies and issue a written report to the county board. Interesting, the act does not apply to municipalities and counties, but park districts are in, because we're not a true municipality, we're a unit of local government. So as Leslie said, through a resolution, the Park Board formed a committee on May of 2023, and we're hosting our first committee meeting tonight. The following members are on the committee. It includes the Park Board President and all elected, and if we had any appointed trustees, they would be on it, as well as two representatives from the public, CJ and Grant. I echo Leslie's thoughts. Good to have you back, and we look forward to some good discussions with you guys. And then myself as executive director is also on the committee. The board president will chair the committees. The committee members will serve without compensation, nothing new to this board. And to be clear, the committee is considered a public body, which the Freedom of Information Act and Open Meetings Act, all of that applies. So in compliance with OMA, we've properly noticed the public and the media of the meeting tonight. We'll take written minutes of the meeting and follow, of course, Robert's Rules of Orders. The duties of the committee, there are three. One is to study governmental units, governing statutes, ordinances, rules, procedures, powers, jurisdiction, shared services, intergovernmental agreements, and interrelationships with other government units and the state of Illinois. Sounds like a mouthful, and it is a lot, because we have a tremendous amount of intergovernmental agreements, partnerships, to kind of take a look at. The committee is to collect data, research, and analysis as necessary to prepare a written report that includes recommendations with respect to increased accountability and efficiency. And finally, the committee is to provide a written report to the administrative office of the county board no later than 18 months after the formation of the committee. So this committee was formed on May 17th of 2023. 18 months later, the report would be due on November 17th of 2024. So we have plenty of time to do it, but we wanted to get started on it early.
Now, one of the things in there, when we're talking about the things that would increase transparency and accountability, can't we also temper that by pointing out the financial constraints of trying to do some of those things?
I stand behind the fact that the park district is the most efficient local government unit, and I absolutely think our report should talk about some of those things and all the efficiencies that we've already created.
Correct.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Because it's, to me, trying to televise or do other things, those are costs that we can't justify. That money is better spent on the parks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, agree. So the structure of the committees. The committee is required to meet a minimum of three times. Tonight would be one. Each meeting of the committee must be public and held in accordance with the OMA. The committee must provide an opportunity for any person from the public to be heard for a minimum of at least 3 minutes. That won't be a problem with this board. They're usually pretty generous with their time, and we usually do that anyway. At the conclusion of each meeting, the committee must conduct a survey of the residents who attended the meeting and ask for their input on matters discussed at the meeting. We'll accomplish this through a sign-in sheet, which Lori's pointing in the back. Anybody from the public? Okay, maybe circulating around. And on that sign-in sheet, we're asking for an email address. So under this act, we can email everybody who provides us an email address, can ask them for any input that they may have, and we'll do that at the conclusion of every meeting.
Do you want it to start circulating? Do you want everybody on?
Members of the public.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I thought. So we just start. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So staff will take care of that on the back end. The committee report, after the three required meetings, the committee shall summarize its work and findings within the written report, which shall include recommendations in respect to increased accountability and efficiency, and shall provide the report to the county board, again, 18 months after the formation of the committee. And then after the committee has submitted its report, the committee shall be dissolved until the reestablishment with a new appointed members every 10 years. It is a decennial committee. So I just wanted to provide this is a new committee. I wanted to provide kind of some framework and some background and make sure everybody understands what the role and the function of this committee is to be. My recommendation to the board is to kind of allow staff or direct staff, if you will, to start gathering together all this information, all our intergovernmental agreements, all of our partnerships, all the things that were required by statute to start analyzing. We'll start pulling those things together, and then we'll provide those to this committee, and then we can have some discussions about, you know, efficiencies and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and then we'll also look to the board and committee members and to staff for recommendations.
You bet.
Get the ball started, rolling, and you know, keep us updated periodically on where you are and then what will happen next.
Yep.
Okay, since it's new for all of us. We'll look to you for timelines and guidance as to next steps.
Mm-hmm. Good thing is we have plenty of time because we're starting early on this,
yes.
Right? And we've already kind of kicked it around internally. There's a lot of ideas out there that we're kind of kicking around, so we're kind of excited to share those with the board and have some good discussion.
Good. Thank you very much.
We have to have a minimum of three. That's up to this committee. My recommendation is, you know, the first step is going to be gathering all the information. That may take some time, right? So maybe once we have a feel for getting those things together, my thought is that we would share that with this committee, probably electronically ahead of time. So committee members will have a chance to kind of look through that, review that, and then we call a meeting after that. So I have a specific timeline there, but yeah.
With winter months coming up, there might be travel.
Understood.
For people.
Yeah, we'll be flexible, and that happens. I mean, for us to hold a meeting, again, it just has to comply with Open Meetings Act, so we have to have a quorum, right, to meet. My thought is that we would probably meet before committee, like we did tonight, on our regular scheduled meeting, if that works for our two members of the public as well. And we'll work with everybody on it.
We'll try to find a time that that works for everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. Would anybody like to comment on anything Derek had to say? Okay. Thank you, guys. Next, before we go into long-range planning, I want to bring up my friend, Jill Agisi. Maybe. Yeah, wherever you want.
Okay. So Leslie and Derek and I had a meeting, and I talked to the foundation about a project that Wild Canine Rescue, which I'm the president of Congress, would like to do in conjunction with the Park District. It's called the Rainbow Bridge Project, and there was only one in the country, in Lake Bloor, North Carolina. It was built for people to pay homage to their deceased animals. It's a rainbow bridge that was built by an artist named Amy Walls, and you can look all of this up and see the actual pictures of the rainbow bridge. I hope to have a presentation for you tonight, but our secretary didn't get that over. So it is actually a bridge, doesn't span water. There's Lake Lure very mountainous area, known for hiking, etc. However, when I talked to Amy Walls, the artist who did build the bridge and placed it there, painted it, and did all of the aesthetics for it, she did tell me, as did the head of parks and planning for Lake Lure, North Carolina, that this has become not what it was intended. It's a tourist destination. So people are driving 7 to 10 hours to come to this bridge to pay homage to their deceased animals. I don't know how many of you are animal people. important to a lot of people, very important. So we wanted to do the project here. I mentioned it to Leslie, and she said, well, let's do it at the dog park at Centennial. For me, I would prefer it at one of the other parks because, I think it's more of a tourist attraction than just a dog thing. But we're happy to start there. So I thought about it more, I didn't realize that it had to be built by the park district because it's a union job. I did have someone who was going to do it. We were going to fund it while Sherman Williams was donating the paint. But we're going to do it all through the park district. It's going to have some beautiful landscaping for prairie lake with grasses, et cetera. The problem that Lake Moore had was they built their bridge too small. They have so many visitors that it's overrun now with cars and they're big rainbow walk. And I thought to work in conjunction with the foundation, we could do a walkway, and I'm envisioning something like the Yellow Brick Road that goes up to the bridge, but the foundation could sell rainbow-colored pavers with people's names on them for $25, or dog names on them for $25, or whatever they decide. We don't want to make any money from this. I hope the foundation can, but I think it's something that so many of the public have reached out to us about. We have 48,000 followers on Facebook, and I would say probably half of them have asked for this project. Weirdly, I got a call yesterday from a guy in Washington State who said, I hear from the Lake Moore people that you're the expert on rainbows.
Congratulations.
Okay. So his grandson is doing an Eagle Scout project, and they're going to build whatever we built here. They're going to follow the plans and build it in Washington as well. So that's kind of, I think we're going to start popping up probably everywhere once this happens. But we just really wanted to present to you and tell you the ideas that we had. Leslie, Derek, and I have to be out there and sort of find a place for where the bridge is going to be as well as the walkway. One of the other issues they had in Lake Lure was people wanted them to bring their ashes to scatter.
Yeah.
So they put a sort of a platform up as well so that people could throw them off off the mountain. We don't have that. So it would be a cornfield, I suppose, if they decided to do it. And I don't know how to keep them from doing that, but maybe have to probably say no ashes.
Yeah, there's some state laws that govern that.
So there is a beautiful sign there with a great poem on it that coincides with the Rainbow Bridge. You'll see it if you Google the Rainbow Bridge. There's a poem that was written by a famous bird or a famous poet. And so we would want to also do that sign.
No, but I'll tell you, I appreciate this. Because I think you're right. I think that this is going to be something the community truly appreciates as a place to memorialize their beloved family members, because that's what our pets are. So I appreciate that you're willing to fundraise for the cost of it and just keep working with staff. Does anybody have any concerns or Chris?
Immediate concerns that come to mind would be the fact that we haven't modernized Centennial Park yet. We're still behind on electric, water, everything else there. If this ends up becoming a tourist destination, I don't want to be caught behind the eight ball on that. Obviously, we've been trying to get that stuff out there anyway. This might be the necessary push to try to get that accomplished, because I think that it could be a good thing.
We have water.
They have water, electric, and access to sewer in the very near future. The challenge there is the challenge that we have many places, is funding. You're talking hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to run sewer and build a facility. And
Jill?
Ruth Hankin is willing to do a fundraiser to help put in bathrooms at the park.
Well, when you're ready, when we're a little further along with this, bring Ruth, and we'll talk to her about that.
My only other concern is that, Jill, you may want to speak with Jason. If you're doing these pavers and sending it for people to be walking on them, we certainly have certain standards and things that we'll have to do for our walking paths, so we need to make sure that it meets those.
Yeah.
And the other thing is if we're doing, like, colored ones, I'd be afraid of fading. You might be better off doing paw prints.
Well, I thought they would be paw prints, and I've looked at actually colored ones. I don't know about that's not my thing.
Yeah, but like I said, I just want to make sure that any path that we're creating meets the standard that we need to do, and you probably need to get with Jason just to make sure that those things are.
And I think if the foundation is going to be in part of selling those, I think they have, you know, Rhian should have some say in.
Absolutely, and we'll get there.
Yeah.
Right, we're not. We need to pick the spot first, and then figure out some other things, and yeah.
And that's kind of my question. So you said you not originally envisioned it at the dog park. Where in your perfect world did you envision it being?
So the perfect world for me would have been at Southland or Washington Park, only because it's closer to our tourist attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And if it truly is what I believe it is, then that's where I would envision it to be.
Or Lincoln.
Yeah.
It would be a great time.
Yeah, and we thought even about Collier. Lincoln's dog was called Fido, and Collier is a Fido bridge, Lincoln's Fido bridge, so that you can tie it all together, and then you get a, you know, downtown central and walk.
Everything is Lincoln. Everything is Lincoln. Well, let's keep...
Let's try to sleep.
Yeah. And keep talking to staff, but I think, you know, I appreciate your time, and
okay.
I think we're good.
I'm good, but you know me, Leslie.
I know.
Right now. So.
I know.
Yeah.
And it will happen, and it will happen in record time.
Okay.
That's what I know about you.
Thank you all very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Jill. Yeah. Oh, that's good. See you guys. That's a good idea. Chris said we should get some data from North Carolina on their visitors and facts for the bridge.
And just make sure we have enough parking so that...
Well, I don't think it's going to be everyone shows up.
I don't think it's going to be right.
No, I don't either.
But I have a situation where we have a parking lot beside the Dunkin'.
Who's long-range plane?
Charlie,
you're up.
There's a lot going on with this. I was also part of this earlier this week, so I'd like to turn this over to Garrett.
Sure. Yep. Thank you, Charlie. So we got three items for discussion tonight. No action, of course. It's just committee meeting. So I think Jason is maybe going to take all three of these.
Yeah.
All
right, Jason, you're up.
Sure. Let's start with the Washington Park Conservatory Dome proposal. As you know, we were awarded the tourism attraction grant for the conservatory dome replacement. I say conservatory dome replacement, even though we don't exactly know that's what we're going to do. So we have a budget, you know, of roughly $750,000. We give a $370,000 from the state. We have $380,000 for us. We got some preliminary numbers back. They're like 1.3, 1.4. So we have to come and scale some of that back. So the first part of the project is obviously to find out what we're going to do, because I still don't think we know what we're going to do. We're investigating replacing the paint, replacing the whole thing, but Casey Engineering is going to help us do a lot of preliminary stuff. So we're going to lock down a contract with Casey, because also in the grant talks about HVAC and all the other stuff that's included in the grant. So Casey will be an engineer on that to help us out with that. That includes Burner and Schobert, that's for all of our HVAC. Prospient is a company that manufactures and does all these type of renovations. You just can't look in the yellow pages right now and find some range sprinkle that does conservatory dome replacements. So Prospient is a company that does a lot of that, but we have to secure them through, you know, a GC or somebody that can meet our ordinances and bid procurement that we have. So first part is the enter to agreement with Truman Shuttle to start the design process. Start all the engineering process like we typically do with a lot of our other projects.
Okay.
Any questions on that?
When do we need that grant money sent by?
That's a good question. They gave us a timeline of, like, I think it was 2 years.
Well, we have to have a contract within 2 years.
I did not like the timeline because it's not just something that, you know, I've never replaced a dome. I don't know what people have.
So she said, as long as you have some contracts in place, we're going to be flexible with your time.
Okay.
And DNR and all these people, DCO, they've always been very good with us in regards to timelines and deadlines, because a lot of times we don't have any control over that. Mm-hmm. We're waiting on materials right now for a couple other projects that were better on timeline. So this was 2 years, I forget the exact date, 2 years from.
It's definitely a very unique project for us, and we've had a really hard time finding a vendor that can even do it. As Jason said, we're lucky that POSPN can do it, but that's why we want to come to the board and get this contract going and get this project moving.
Correct. No more further questions on that one? All right. The next one is the Washington Park Tennis Course. This was just the agenda item that we wanted to just kind of, if I remember correctly, have a discussion on. It was brought up at one of our other board meetings. To talk about the tennis courts. So just a real high-level update on those tennis courts. If you don't know, and forgive me if you do, but there's 12 courts there that are at the Blasco Tennis Center now. They were built in the early 1900s. The northern sticks are lighted. There's four projects that have happened over there and as far as resurfacing. Back in 2004, I found a file. He spent $61,000 on resurfacing all 12 back in 2004. In 2013, we spent $84,000 on resurfacing all 12. 2021, a project that I ran, we did a $200,000 premier court on course 1, 2, and 3. That's the rubber matting that we put out, and it was painted, and everybody that we talked to, with Drew and with other people, they love that material. They love those three courts. And then 2023, a project that we just completed last week or a week before, I forget, we did a $30,000 crack treatment on course 789. Crack treatment is $30,000. Crack treatment might not last a year or two, so everybody is aware. You don't get warranties on crack repairs anymore. So crack repair might not be an option, so we've been meeting with some people are talking about fundraising. We've been doing that for about the past couple of years, talking about fundraising options. We had some very good meetings. Was that a month ago? We had some very interesting, hopeful meetings for that. We'll still continue to submit all that stuff in the bond process. We'll submit all those requests. I think we did like $1 million request in the last bond to try to do something over there with all 12 courts. We'll keep recommending that, but just kind of a high level of what's going on with last. We just redid the pro shop. That was all redone. That's all I can think of for those courses.
Is it possible to do three more crack fills sometime in the not too distant future?
We're not convinced that the vendor will do it.
I'm not convinced that the vendor will do it.
Can you ask?
We have.
If you look at it from the vendor standpoint, they've done numerous track repairs for us over there, and then people come and play on it in a year, and they say, well, I don't understand. Oh, well, I just did all these, and now they're cracked again. So that vendor kind of thinks maybe that it's not good on my business, or everybody thinks that I'm doing a not-so-good job on these courts, when in reality, I'm doing what I can to help you out, getting to the point now where I can't do anything like that anymore.
Okay.
We can always ask to put on a sales face to try to get something, but I don't know if it would be the best investment for us.
Okay.
And we've looked at options of the Premier Court, which we really like because it has a 30-year warranty, and we've had great experience with that. We've looked at options of ripping everything out. As Jason said, a lot of these courts were constructed on top of the original clay courts, which they're over 100 years old. So ripping them out, when you start getting into that, then you got to put all new fencing up, and there's hundreds of thousands of dollars probably worth just of fencing to put back up because you can't leave it. So the project gets really,
Is
really
there
large.
Any grant money around for this?
It would potentially qualify for maybe an OSLOD if we wanted to choose to, you know, apply for an OSLOD grant. Those come every
What's
year.
What about a park grant?
Parks for indoor only, so it wouldn't qualify for indoor, bless you.
Thank you.
But we constantly look at those. We've looked at the USTA for some granting opportunities. There's just not a lot right now that's available to us. But as Jay said, it came up last month. We wanted to bring it up and make sure the full board's understanding of kind of what we've done, where we're at. We will be selling a bond in spring of 2024. You will see a request in there for this project, but as we've talked about with this board many times, there's already a lot of commitments on that bond fund, and there's more to come too. So this is the challenge that we have, is trying to maintain everything with our very limited resources. But we want to get in front of the board just to make sure that we're all kind of understanding that.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody have any questions on the tennis course? All right, I want to go to the next one. The next one is a simple park maintenance equipment purchase. Park maintenance department is looking to purchase 3 pull behind turbine blowers that we use to blow leaves in the parks, blow leaves off the streets, blow leaves everywhere, help out with coal diamonds, drying things. So that's just a typical budgeted item in our budget for equipment purchase, and over $30,000, so we wanted to get that foot on the board.
Okay. Question.
We used to be able to get those blowers for $6,000 a piece, now they're over $10,000.
One last thing that I want to throw in here, and I apologize that I didn't think of this earlier, but I've been thinking about it. So it didn't make the agenda, is at some point we're going to need to redo our master plan. So we redid, the last time we did it was 8 years ago, I think, or 9.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think it's been that long. I think
it's been a while.
The 5-year plan, I think, was just coming. Yeah. Yeah, I think it expired like 2021.
It's time. I mean, when we did the master plan that is now in effect, we had a whole different set of parameters facing us than we do now. And that's a big positive. I mean, what made me think about this, I think, Stephen, said we've checked a lot of things off the list, that, you know, technology was a huge one in the last master plan, because we had buildings that weren't even wired, for computers. We've come light years in a fairly short period of time, I think.
We have some. A lot. Almost an entire new board, right?
Everybody,
none of you were on the board when we did our last match thing, so that's good.
So, and it is, and it's almost, don't forget me, it's like a team building exercise too, because we all get together and we all have different thoughts on different things, and everybody is heard, and it all goes up, and it all kind of, and the commonalities, it's kind of fun. I mean, the commonalities of what we're all thinking sort of gel and take shape, and it's actually I really enjoy the process. So if everybody is okay with this, I would like to ask Derek to begin the process of, you know, finding somebody to do this, to sort of lead us in this process and produce a master plan at the end of it.
So my recommendation based on that would be to use the same company that did our master plan before.
Only if he has shorter.
Part of the reason is I think he does good work.
He does. He did good work.
And he writes all of our grants for us now, and we've been very successful there. He knows us. He knows our community.
Yes.
And on top of that, he could update our existing plan, where if we were to get an outside firm, we would start all over again. When we did this 6 or 7, however many years ago it was, I think it was about $100,000.
If
we were to start over with a new firm, I would anticipate $150,000, $200,000, a very large number, wherein if we work with Design Perspectives, if that's the will of the board, I think we could get a really effective plan that would serve the agency for years to come at a very reasonable price. So,
well, why don't you reach out and see?
Get a proposal.
Yeah, get a proposal.
Okay.
Is everybody okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Staff updates. Stephen, you're up first.
I had just one thing I wanted to add to staff report, and that was that the audit is coming to a conclusion. And that is going to be on the October 10th to present the audit. And then later that night to the board.
Anticipating anything in particular?
No, not really. Okay. I think it'll be fine.
Yes, you are. You're anticipating a clean audit.
It's not the least accounting
I don't want to get into it because it's just like, it's a struggle to understand it for anybody, really. Our auditors are struggling with the new standard, the new GASB that we're trying to comply with.
I see.
And so that's kind of put, that's it. That's really kind of put a wrench into it.
So it's learning a whole new way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
To account.
And it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. For someone who's not an accountant, it actually makes no sense at all. And for someone who is an accountant, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me either. So,
well, that's reassuring.
It's a whole new conceptual approach. And so it's...
Who's got that?
Usually. Yeah, so we'll see. You know, what I call 50, whatever you want to do, what we're going to do.
Right.
And in reality, it doesn't have an effect on reality.
Right.
I mean,
the numbers are the numbers.
We're leasing the trucks and we're using them. And however we have to account for it, that's what we have to do. And whether it has a negative or positive impact, to me, that
doesn't change the contract.
It doesn't change it, and it's still, it's to me, it's bookkeeping. It's, oh, you're going to do it this instead of this. Okay.
Right. Right. At the end of the day, we're either
it is
exactly what it is. But, okay.
So, but that is coming next month, and I don't expect anything, earth-shattering to come from the audit.
Good. Well, that's all good, except for the fact that it's confusing.
It is confusing.
Rec and marketing, Angie.
Just a couple additional items to share, other than what's in your report. So we're bringing Rink 2 back up over to Nelson Center. I've had, for the first time in my career, the opportunity to go over and watch some of that metamorphosis that takes place and happens. So it is a very detailed and sequential process that takes place. So George sent me some additional pictures today as well. So it looks like a nicer again. And then Eisenhower Pool is back up. We go down two weeks out of the year. And we are full of water again and swimming. So those are two big maintenance items that have been completed and backed up.
How is Eisenhower doing from just it's been as quiet as far as maintenance or is there anything on the radar?
It's an old facility.
I'm not surprised. Okay, well, we can talk about that when it's bond time.
Master plan time.
Does anybody know if we provide skate sharpening over there at Nelson?
Yes, we do.
Yep.
We do.
Okay.
Because I heard that the guy across from Lincoln Park is pretty much never going to open his doors again. He just doesn't want to sell.
Yep.
He wants to try to drive everybody to Peoria or wherever his other store is.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that there's been plenty of people who are concerned about where they were going to be able to take care of their equipment. So if we're providing sharpening, which I wasn't sure 100% if we were or weren't.
We have an inventory of skates for rental when we sharpen those all the time as well as people who bring the skates.
I think some of the high-end figure skaters will outsource that just because it's highly fine-tuned skating, right, different than hockey. Absolutely we do.
One other thing, we were looking for, and I think Gary just probably already said something, but we were looking for online for the open skate, the public skate times. It's really hard to do.
Cool.
I mean, I consider myself reasonably savvy with these things, and I tried for 10 minutes to find on our website when there was open skate and couldn't do it.
We'll certainly take a look at it.
Okay.
I believe the directions that are on there, it's called because it's structured around our user groups and other...
No, I appreciate that. It would be nice for the public to have, and I know it's a nightmare of scheduling out there. I appreciate that. But it would be nice if there was maybe one time a week, right, that everybody knows that if you want to, just general public, I'm not talking about the people who really know how to skate, but those of us who pretend. You know what I mean? It, Saturdays at 11, I'm just throwing something out there. Everybody knows Saturday, if you want to go skating, you can go, the public can go Saturday at 11. It would be nice to have something like that. Like I said, I know that scheduling is chaotic at the Nelson Center, but if we could get something like that where we could just put it on, and then underneath it perhaps, you know, and call for additional time, right?
Yeah, right now when we go, it comes up as no search results.
Right.
And I know
right.
A while ago, cause my niece wanted to go, so I was looking it up. I'm like, I think you can go at noon.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure.
I usually have to text CJ.
Oh, good to know. Okay, well, but that's not a resource the public has, but you and I certainly do. Too bad he left.
I know.
Yeah, just wanted to bring that up. Parks and planning? I guess that would be Jason.
Yeah. A couple highlights from the report. The Zoo Museum grant, our project's going really well. That's another project we're waiting on material. So we're waiting on steel. We're waiting on a couple things, condenser unit, those type of things to keep that project going. That project, remember, we got an extension on that from the IDNR because we had to rebid it, try to get it within budget. That deadline's coming December 31st of 2024. Don't know if we'll make that deadline or not. We've been in contact with DNR, telling them what's going on. They've been very understanding. So hopefully we're going to get that project done on schedule. The contractor has promised us that at least the animals will be in the exhibit by winter, which is great. That's awesome. That's one thing that'll
help. Zoo looks great.
It'll help Doug out tremendously. The Kiwanis Audubon grant, if you've been following that, we got the project seeded today. So the soccer field was seeded today. The berm was seeded today. The drainage was seeded today. We're hopefully going to be getting the bathroom in here in October. Then we also have the playground to do for Kiwanis. So that can be an opportunity to get a $200,000 budget there for a playground. So we can discuss that design process there.
The purchase and install.
Yeah. Vet, we're working on the demo package for the Vet Autoblog for the pool. Going off of bond discussions that we just got done talking about, we just completed more drainage work at Lincoln Greens, which is a bond item. So we'll be asking for more bond money for drainage at Lincoln Greens. We're also going to be talking about more cart paths. We got like four holes left through Lincoln Greens and we're done. Last of the center, like I said, 7, 8, 9, we're done a week or so ago. And if you remember the rubber roof replacement at Nelson Center, we're about 95% of that project is done and completed as well.
That's fantastic. Good job. Okay. Chief, you're up next.
So for our monthly report for the month of August, I'd entertain any questions that anybody might have to have about that. In terms of crime, it was a low crime month. In terms of ordinance enforcement, it's a little higher than normal because we tweaked our standing patrol plan. Time goes on. Where we need to focus our attention, changes a little bit, a tweak has been made. We worked a few more later shifts during the month of August. So that's a little bit of a number change on that. Our speed enforcement is way down for August. I expect it will remain that, mostly because of the improvements made to the MacArthur crosswalk. Speed is attrition from MacArthur. By no means has it eradicated speeding, but it's taken high rollers down from the low to mid-60s down to the mid to low 40s for a car flying down MacArthur at that zone, which is like a gift from the heavens for us in terms of safety. And the average flow speed is way, way, way down, so that thing is really working quite well. If you haven't been through there recently, I would love to invite you to go through there. Proper signage is now in place. What I call hospital-grade LED signs, like Memorial's had for a while, are there in triple. There's an activation button on both sides of the road and in the middle. It's a police officer's dream to see what came of that. It's exactly what we've been needing for all the time I've been griping about it. And it's just a delight to see it, and it's working fabulously. So that's going on. We finished out baseball season in August. We had a couple of August baseball games. Zero arrests, zero toes, minimal number of medicals. It was a very uneventful season, so we're both proud of that. Hockey season is now underway. We've got a posting, this is not a monthly report, by the way. We have a posting for a full-time police officer. At present, we have just shy of 30 applicants for that position. The posting will continue to the end of the month. It's a phenomenal number of applicants, much higher than I ever dreamed we would have.
Are any of them already certified?
So, based on what they have sent in on the initial application, I can't determine that without running their names through the LSP database. I can tell you out of names I recognize, I know we have at least three pre-certified applicants. I know that from seeing names of people I know that are in the profession. So that's a pretty exciting thing. Thus far in September, we've had the senior, I call it the senior international pickleball tournament at Isles Park, and that's probably not the real official name. major skating event a couple Saturdays ago out of San Antonio, a large scale thing. Zero issues with that. We just finished out an art spectacular detail with overnight coverage for those fine folks. Zero issues on that. Our late night weekend, I call them party crasher details. They unfortunately continue and need to continue. We had a large gathering, unfortunately, out in Southwind this past weekend. And in a strange reversal of fate, I was, quote unquote, the late car for that shift. So I got to see that spectacle up close and personal with my own two eyes. We had about, I would say, 300 cars in there after hours.
Wow.
And that party continued at several locations around town. We got lucky. They actually left when I told them to leave. I can't explain it, but we didn't get so lucky at several other locations throughout town, but that's still a factor. Something that I wanted to share with you in terms of some, I would guess, I'm going to prophesize, some future contacts you may have with some constituents. As of September 18th, which is coming right up, the cash bond laws change drastically. And the number of people that we're going to be taking to jail for conventional criminal situations by virtue of what the statutes require is going to be incredibly reduced, okay? So that's not necessarily all bad. There are still many, many jailable offenses, but the vast majority of offenses are no longer jailable. And I can foresee a situation where a known or as of yet unknown constituent would be contacting some of you to say, hey, I called in about my situation in the park, the officer showed up, I clearly identified this person. I showed him some video of this person breaking into my car. It appears he just had a chat with them, gives them a piece of paper, and they drove off. What's up with that? So I foresee that coming up. Or, gosh, this just got completely blown off because the officer had the chat, some paper was exchanged, and everybody went on their merry way, even though I said I wanted to find a complaint over the offense. So I foresee that conversation coming up. It won't be frequent, but I foresee that coming up, and that stuff goes into effect on the 18th. The last thing I guess I wanted to, not two things, very briefly, we stand at 6,101 total police incident calls for service today as of this moment, well above our entire year last year. I think we round out at probably 9,000 for the year, which is an unprecedented number for our department. And the very last thing I wanted to share with you is both a park concern and a community concern. For you, yourself, family, or anybody that you have any contact with, there's a current, somewhere between an influx and an epidemic of new pills coming to Springfield as a part of the continuing opioid problem. They're manufactured at illicit facilities south of the border. What they purport to be, what they look to be, are conventional tablets of Percocet, which is the flood. Now that wasn't that common of a thing. Now Percocet is huge all of a sudden. And conventional Oxycontin tablets. What they really are is made in a film mill south of the border. And there's just an amalgamation of terrible things put in pill form. Some of which contain some of what they purport to be. Others of which don't contain any of what they purport to be. And all of which contain a measure of pill and a measure of various animal tranquilizers. The ODs are off the charts since about September 1st, and we personally have experienced that. In fact, we did a little special detail based on a tip that we got. Caught a couple guys in the process of possessing about a dozen or more of those pills out in Lindbergh Park, of all places. And so this is something I wanted to share with you both from a police officer's perspective and a community perspective. That is a new thing. It's huge. It's affected all departments in the area, particularly Springfield and in all neighborhoods. And that's pretty much my report for the month. Again, I appreciate your continued support and your hospitality and warmness toward me. It's very meaningful. Thank you.
Do your officers carry Narcan?
We do. We all carry Narcan. We have a very plentiful supply of Narcan, and we have a current supply of Narcan. It is before their expiration date. However, to be clear, Narcan works beyond the expiration date. The original implementation of Narcan had expiration dates. It's been proven through bona fide research Narcan does not lose its effectiveness on its expiration date. And the cynical old cop in me makes me wonder if that's more of a sales pitch than a pharmaceutical necessity. Nonetheless, we're well stocked with that, and we have KDVs and all the patrol vehicles as well. So I think that we are well prepped. I have made a decision that I think is the best one operationally, not to equip our folks with fentanyl field test strips. Quite frankly, I don't want them handling the stuff. I want them to presume everything has it and move accordingly, glove up and move accordingly. I don't want a false sense of security of, hey, based on a 33-cent field strip, it said it wasn't fentanyl, so I got lax. I want everybody gloved up so the bitter ends when it goes in the evidence vault and it goes off to where it goes. But those are now available very cheaply, and we've just kind of opted for a higher threshold of safety, and we're not doing those.
So is the community being made aware of the fact that we're seeing an uptick in Percocet and stuff?
If I were not in the occupation that I'm in, I would probably not be privy to that.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of it.
A task force or something, or will you get this that's kind of driving that, or?
So
what you're seeing in the park, huh?
What I've seen in the park, and also I actually had a meeting. We were a participant in a recovery resources community outreach event at Comer Cox Park over the weekend. Some of those folks I knew from before, from a continuing relationship that we had with Recovery Resources and with Helping Hands, made some new acquaintances there as well. And they were quick to bend my ear about that, even though I was already aware that it was a new phenomenon. That was the first words out of their mouth was, hey, we need to get you up to speed on this new thing. It's
frightening.
It is.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
And we've seen it, you know, and when you think of an OD park, and then you'll think of Lindbergh Park at 9:20 p.m., and that's precisely where we found it going on.
Well, thank you, Chief. Well, thank you for letting us know. Does anybody have anything else they want to bring up? Okay. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?